It's important for us to know the difference between added sugar and natural sugars. The sugar we find in whole fruits, like actual fruit, that is naturally occurring sugar. But if it's added in there, like maple syrup, honey, then we really want to be focused on being mindful of our added sugar intake.
Hey, family, I'm Leon Guidry. Welcome to the Brother Be Well podcast. Our conversations focus on mental health and wellness. Our intent is to provide a safe space for boys and men of color to reduce disparities, remove stigma, heal trauma, and to end prolonged suffering. Listen up, y'all.
Hi, I'm Michael P. Coleman, content director for Brother Be Well. A while back, everybody talked about the food pyramid when discussing how personal diets and individual meals should be structured. To be honest, I never quite got it. It never quite worked for me. And for one thing, I don't know about you, but I've never eaten on a triangular plate. My plate was round. So as a kid, I could never quite figure out how that pyramid fit into what I was supposed to be doing. Back in 2011, then First Lady Michelle Obama helped us out with that, along with then Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack introduced the My Plate image to improve eating habits in the United States. I found it to be incredibly helpful, and a lot of people have too, in making sure that we're getting enough vegetables and fruits during every meal of every day. As we've discussed on this platform, vegetarian and vegan diets tend to be rich in antioxidants and other beneficial nutrients shown to be protective against depression and depressive symptoms, relief from anxiety and fatigue, as well as a boost in overall productivity and well-being, have also been shown to be benefits of adopting a more plant-based diet, and the plate method helps make that an easier goal to achieve. So today, we've got my favorite plant-based dietitian, Delilah Bizazi, with us. She's going to help tell us all about the plate method. So please help me welcome her back to the Brother Be Well table. Hey, Delilah.
Hey, Michael. How's it going?
It's fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Can't thank you enough for making a little time for us here. So let's get right into this. Before we get into the plate method and for the carnivores among us, I was born and raised a carnivore. I'm leaning farther and farther away from that as I get a little older. Why should we think about focusing on eating more fruits and vegetables generally? We touched on some of the mental health benefits up front, but what can you tell us about what veggies and fruits will do to and for our bodies?
So when you add more fruits and veggies into your diet, you're going to inevitably be adding two other really important nutrients for health, which is fiber and antioxidants. Keep in mind that fiber you can only get from plants, and antioxidants you get some in animal-based products, but really not as concentrated. And with, I just can't stress the importance of fiber enough because it does so many things for our body. You know, from helping manage our blood sugar to keeping our gut healthy to lowering your cholesterol. And the thing is, Americans eat about, I think it's an estimated 10 to 15 grams of fiber a day, which is nothing because the recommendation for women is 21 to 25 grams a day. And the recommendation for men is 30 to 38. Wow. So we are really, we are underscoring in that category.
And is that because primarily we eat a lot of processed foods here? Is it fast food? What's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. The SAD diet, this what they call SAD diet, standard American diet, it's very rich in animal-based foods, which again, do not contain fiber, and also processed foods and refined grains, which have little to no fiber.
Wow. And it's probably no coincidence. It's called the SAD diet. It's kind of sad with the
right,
the richness of choices. And you've helped us here on this platform, Delilah, has shown us the variety of choices we've got. The diet's kind of sad. So we're going to try to have a happier diet here at Brother Be Well. Those of a certain age might be more familiar with the pyramid method than the plate method. The USDA scrapped it over a decade ago, as I mentioned during the intro. For those of us who grew up with that pyramid, what have we learned that rendered that pyramid obsolete? And generally speaking, what's the difference between the pyramid and the plate?
So the USDA and like the whole nutrition guidelines, they have gone through a lot of rebranding over the years. And what's interesting is that even though it's changed visually a lot, the messaging around it actually hasn't really changed that much aside from added sugars and types of fats. Those are only two things that have like really, really changed. And in terms of the plate versus the pyramid, so the pyramid was more so for guidance about, you know, how much to eat and what to eat over the course of the entire day, whereas the plate focuses on what and how much to eat per meal, mm-hmm. which is a lot, yeah, which is a lot easier for people to grasp. It just makes more sense, you know, realistically. And actually, I like that you brought up, you're like, I never had a triangular plate, which is a good point, because the plate method, like, it ideally is supposed to help people, you know, put that into practice when they're just putting their plates together. But we also have to keep in mind that not every meal comes in a plate, right? A lot of cultures eat soups primarily or things in bowls. So I always just try to like have people remember, like, the key takeaway is what is the proportions of that meal? Like, you want this proportion to be made up of grains, veggies, fruits, protein, and all that.
That's a great point, Delilah. So thank you for making that. A lot of people don't eat on a plate. So let's mm-hmm. talk about those proportions. Tell us about the plate mm-hmm. method and how we can begin to incorporate it into our meal to meal. I started to say day to day, but it's really meal by meal, mm-hmm. as you pointed out. So can you tell us a little bit about the plate method?
Yes. So ideally you want half the plate, or half of the meal, what should I say, about half of it to be made up of fruits and veggies. My kind of go-to for clients is at least 1 to 2 veggies, more if you want. Hey, the more the merrier, but at least 1 to 2 veggies. And one of those veggies being a non-starchy veggie. So non-starchy is anything that is not a pea or potato or corn, right? Anything that's not those. Nothing against the starchy veggies, but we want to make sure we're incorporating both starchy and non-starchy. Yeah. And then after that, you want to have approximately about a quarter-ish to be comprised of your whole grains. So that can be rice, quinoa, farro, teff. Popcorn, by the way, is also whole grain too. But oats, so millet, porridge, cornmeal, some kind of a whole grain. And then the remaining portion, which is like around a quarter-ish, so to speak. And I'm just saying like ish because it's like we're eyeballing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like to get too precise on counting calories and measuring because then people like miss the whole big thing. But then the rest of that, you want it to be your protein. So that could be your beans, your lentils, nuts, seeds. If you eat meat, that would be some type of a lean meat, beef, chicken, fish. And then also have some type of a heart healthy fat. So heart healthy fats, those are your unsaturated fats, your olive oil, avocado, olives, some type of a plant-based fat. And then fruits, people don't really struggle with fruits. So you can have fruits with your meal, between meals. That's really the least of people's struggles. It's usually the fruits and veggies.
It's the fruits.
The veggies. The veggies.
You never cease to surprise me, Delilah. My big takeaway from what you just said, and because I had done a little research, I was aware of that half plate, half serving, half of meal veggie thing. And we'll get to that in mm-hmm. a second. But I didn't know popcorn was a whole grain. You just made me really happy.
Oh, yeah. It is. It absolutely is. Yes. So that's a great snack, actually, to have. And I recommend folks like, yeah, we can definitely snack on popcorn. And when we're doing that, we just want to combine it with some type of a either protein or a fat on the side. Huh. The only thing that the trickiness you run into when it comes to popcorn is that oftentimes, like the way it's presented to us, it is like slathered in butter and salt. So it's not as health promoting when it's like that, but just straight up kale cooked popcorn with some salt on there. Ooh, put a little protein on the side.
You got me. I'm so happy. Let's talk about that half veggie portion. That may be, for me anyway, that was mm-hmm. quite, when I started kind of paying attention to this, that was quite a jump. That was a leap. Coming from a family and an environment, a culture where meat was the star of the plate. So mm-hmm. you load it up if you're eating, you know, and you're plant-based, so you don't have this to worry about anyway. But if you're loading up with protein and then the veggies and the whole grains were kind of supporting characters, if you will, for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had to get over that. And also I had to get over this kind of mantra. I used to say, I don't like vegetables. And I would say that often. What I really meant was I didn't like the 2 or 3, you know, core vegetables that I ate all the time as a kid. Once you start looking at the variety that you have introduced us to at Brother Be Well, I wouldn't dream of saying that. In fact, I just discovered last week, air frying Brussels sprouts. Saliva, oh my gosh, they are so good. And they were so good. I had some leftovers. I put it in the fridge. I ate those for breakfast the next day, just the Brussels sprouts. So you can season things really, really well and get a lot of a nutritional punch in that meal. What can you share with us generally about finding vegetables that we really like? We've got a lot of options. What can you share about finding the ones we like and learning to prepare them in ways that won't make us kind of shudder or lean away from that half meal being those vegetables?
Yeah. So I would say start with the seasonings, the spices and the seasonings. Instead of doing just like garlic, salt, black pepper, right? That's a little bit boring and it just might not be too exciting. So, and people might not know where to start with because they're just like, I don't know, I'm all used to cooking with those things. So, hey, no shade there. Yeah. Try purchasing some pre-made spice blends. You can find these in the grocery store next to all the other spices. Check to make sure that ideally it's a salt-free one, just because you want to be mindful of our sodium intake. And you also want to be in control of it. So if you get a spice blend that doesn't have a bunch of salt added to it, at least you can add your own, you know, specific amount of salt. But Trader Joe's is really good at providing like all different types of sodium salt-free spice blends. So they have, there's like this Cuban inspired citrusy garlic one that I really like. There's a 21 seasoning. Like they have a lot of good, and it also saves so much time and so much hassle because people are just like, okay, I don't know what to season with. But when you buy these spice blends, it just really does a lot of the work for you.
You just, I have been to a Trader Joe's maybe once or twice in my life. So we didn't want to turn this into a commercial for Trader Joe's, but I'll be going there as soon as I'm done. I've got to run some errands anyway. So I'm going to stop by and see. Because I think those blends, that will be a helpful way to kind of cut out some of the guesswork for those of us who aren't natural cooks necessarily. Another one I want to share really quickly is curry. And I wasn't prepared to talk to you about that. I have found, I did a curry roasted carrot a few weeks ago. I'm telling you, Delilah, every time I discover one of these things, I think of you. And I thought, whoa, if not for my friendship with Delilah, I wouldn't have even tried to experiment with this. But there are a lot, I would encourage people that are listening, don't be afraid to try something. If you don't like it, don't do it again. But you could discover accidentally like a really favorite dish that can help you with that plate method, right?
So true. That's awesome.
I also think of you, Delilah, when I'm grocery shopping. I remember you telling me really early to make sure there's a lot of color in that shopping basket. And, you know, you have helped me make grocery shopping, which is an activity that I abhor or used to. Now it's kind of fun. And there have been a couple of times when I've had that basket and I go, wait a minute, there's nothing purple in there. Delilah told me make this purple. So I take extra 5 minutes to try to get some eggplant or something like that, that I can play around with when I get home. Can you talk to us about those really bountiful and colorful vegetables that we need to make sure that are solid parts of our daily and meal to meal diets?
Yes. So eat the rainbow, just like you're doing, eat the rainbow, because every color provides some type of a different nutritional benefit. So the things that actually give the fruits and veggies their color, those are called phytonutrients. And that's where we find all these antioxidants. For example, in tomatoes and watermelons, they have lycopene. And lycopene is an antioxidant that supports a skin health. And I've even seen that it helps reduce risk for prostate cancer. Our orange colored foods like pumpkin, squash, sweet potato, butternut squash that has beta carotene, which is another really potent antioxidant, also great for skin health and immune health. The list goes on, like chlorophyll in our green veggies, there's resveratrol in our grapes, our purple and blue, like so many things, even our whole grains too, like fiber is really important to help remove waste and toxins from our body. So every single color that you see in produce is providing some type of health benefit. So the more variety, the more color variety you have in your diet, the more you are accessing all the different health benefits.
Really appreciate you walking us through that, Delilah. You mentioned when you were going through your list, the green vegetables. And I wanted to just give you a chance to focus on those. There's a difference between those greens and those dark leafy greens. So I wanted to give you a chance to touch on the dark leafy greens and why they're so important.
Yes. So with our greens, what gives them their green color is the chlorophyll. So that's another very potent antioxidant. And when I say antioxidant, that is, in your mind, you just want to know that, okay, antioxidant is what reduces inflammation. So just kind of like keep the, like, that's a good way to think of it in your head. Antioxidants are what our body uses to reduce inflammation. And we all know that a lot of the chronic diseases we're suffering from are diseases of chronic inflammation. So that's one big thing. But aside from that, our leafy greens provide a lot of other important nutrients like folate, which is a type of B vitamin, but along with our other B vitamins too, they also do have beta carotene, vitamin K, which supports blood health, bone health. So leafy greens are kind of like a superfood in their own, like not just kale, you know, arugula, mustard greens, chard, collard greens. I even touch on the minerals. Leafy greens also are a good source of iron as well. So superfoods there for sure.
Superfoods there. So we got to pay attention to those. Before I let you go on this conversation, Dahlia, and I always get a little sad when it's time for you to go, because I learned so much during these conversations, and our Brother Be Well family tells us they are appreciative of you as well. So I hate to let you go, but I know you've only got so much time for us. One of the downsides of the MyPlate method is that there's no emphasis on exercise there. And we know that exercise helps support our overall health. Can you think of any other things that we need to think about with regard to that plate method and incorporating it into our daily routines that we need to be aware of? And do you have any final thoughts about this plate method that you'd like to share?
Ooh, yes. So you did mention exercise. That's a really good point to bring up, because, you know, it's lifestyle, right? And exercise is part of your lifestyle.
Yep.
So for exercise recommendations, you know, according to the USDA, the goal is for kids and teens to get an hour of exercise per day. I know it's not the same as like when you and I were kids.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm giggling. And adults to get 150 minutes of exercise per week. So that's about 2.5 hours. So that's the exercise portion right there. And then in terms of just the MyPlate, you know, I was mentioning before that they have undergone a lot of rebranding visually, but the message hasn't really changed a whole lot, with the exception of added sugars and fats. So added sugars is a really big one. It's important for us to know the difference between added sugar and natural sugar. So the sugar we find in whole fruits, like actual fruit, that is naturally occurring sugar. But if it's added in there, like maple syrup, yes, even maple syrup, agave, honey, sugar packets, like that's added sugar, right? Those are two totally different things. And we really want to be focused on being mindful of our added sugar intake. And the current USDA guidelines, those have also changed. So right now, the guideline is, I don't really like how it's communicated, because I don't think it is really realistic, or not realistic. It's hard to translate into like layman's terms. So their guideline is for it to be no more than 10% of your calories per day. But to the average person, like, what the freak does that mean?
Wow.
Yeah. It's really unnecessary. But the American Heart Association, their added sugar guidelines are for men, no more than 36 grams, and for women, no more than 25 grams per day. And that's so much easier to translate when you're looking at the actual food label, because now they have to add added sugars, and you can see the amount of grams of added sugar per serving. So if you have that gram amount in mind, 25 to 36, that's helpful. Yeah. But in terms of the 10% of calories or less, I don't want to take too much time here to get like into like calorie counting and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll do a quick calculation. Like, if you're looking at a 2000 calorie diet, 10% of that is 200 calories, which is about 50 grams of sugar approximately.
Yeah.
Looking at a 2000 calorie diet. But I prefer the American Heart Association. I feel like it's much more easy. Much easier to apply.
I think so too, just based on what you've told me and what I've read before. And I think in general, I would say it's easy to think about, you know, added sugar in very sharp moderation. So very, very sparingly. Yes. There's a great, I can't think of it now, Delilah, there's a cookie or something, not even a cookie, there's a cracker or something that was had been a staple in my diet. And I took a look at it. I used to like it, you know, with a little, maybe even, and I know you're plant-based, but I would do a little bit of tuna salad or something on it. Mm-hmm. And I found out that the cracker had like 14 grams of added sugar.
Wait, what?
So two servings of that would be the top amount of sugar. And I wasn't even thinking about that as the occasional, you know, cookie or whatever that I might want, muffin or whatever. So needless to say, those crackers have been banned from my pantry. They are not coming in this house anymore because I think we've just got to be careful about how we structure each and every meal. Just be mindful and be smart and take advantage of some of the great tips that you've given us.
I hear you. Thank you. Well, that's, man, isn't that crazy? Like when we read the label, the things that we learn, my gosh.
I know. And I think, you know, it's, I've kind of joked before, once I became aware, same with sodium count, you know, once I was aware of what I was doing, I was thinking, wow, I'm glad I'm still upright. Cause I spent a lot of years putting things in my body that just were not over the long term good for me, everything in moderation, but not to the quantities that I was doing.
Yeah. Moderation for sure.
For sure. Delilah Bezazne, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I always enjoy having conversations with you guys.
Me too. Can't wait to talk to you again. And I want to thank you for listening in once again to one of these Brother Be Well podcasts. If you've heard something that you have been intrigued by, you want to learn a little bit more, go to our website, brotherbewell.com. You can find podcasts, videos, print pieces, all kinds of resources to help you on your behavioral health journey and to help you be well. Check it all out at brotherbewell.com. We're a membership supported service, but guess what? You can join Brother Be Well right now for free. So do that on our website. While you're there, give us your email address. And when conversations just like this one go live, you'll get something that'll pop up in your e-box 3 or 4 times a week. And you'll stay up to date with everything we're doing here at Brother Be Well, designed to support the behavioral health of boys and men of color, 13 and up, African-American, Native and Indigenous, Latinx, and Asian and Pacific Islander. We can find it all at brotherbewell.com. My name again, Michael P. Coleman, content director for Brother Be Well. It's been great, great, great to be with you. I want to ask you to do two quick things for me. If you would, take great care of yourself. And Delilah certainly is dedicated to doing that, as are all of our clinical advisors here at Brother Be Well. And then, just the fun part, take care of somebody else. Till next time, bye-bye.
This has been the Brother Be Well podcast. I'm Leon Guidry. Shout out to our sponsors, Sutter Health and the Sacramento County Division of Behavioral Health Services through the voter-approved Proposition 63 Mental Health Services Act. And don't forget our goals: to reduce disparities, remove stigma, heal trauma, and to end prolonged suffering. If you have feedback on today's episode, tweet us at Brother Be Well or email info@brotherbewell.com. Click the subscribe button right now and plan to join us next time. Until then, be well, brothers.